In the first episode, we're talking with Darrell Irvin, creative entrepreneur. We're discussing visibility, authenticity, and purpose. And the sponsor of today's podcast is Visibility Gym. Visibility Gym is a program for coaches, experts, course creators, and founders. Present on camera fearlessly. Connect with your tribe using emotionally intelligent storytelling. Hear more yeses on your discovery calls. Today we're going to talk about absolutely important topic, which is authenticity of your message, the purpose, and your brand, the visibility of your brand. So hi, Darrell, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Good to see you, and thanks for inviting me on your show. Awesome.
So tell us more about what do you do and how you help people to find their purpose.
So I am an entrepreneur. It took me years to get to that point, but I am an entrepreneur. I started off as a brand marketing expert, and that spilled over into other businesses. But at the core, I'm about putting purpose in the heart of business. And so no matter what business that you have, I help you discover it and then help you tell that story. So that's what I do.
So that sounds incredibly interesting. And what I want to know from you, the idea how visibility impacts businesses and brands, and if you have a few stories about visibility, how it really helped your clients to find their purpose, to find better clients. Let's talk about this.
One of the most interesting stories I have, which is a fairly recent one that came in the middle of a pandemic, which we've all been through or going through together. And it was really about wanting visibility with their niche, with their target market. So we were working with an insurance company. They specialize in insurance for craft people. Now, obviously, with the impending pandemic they'd gone through, and there are a lot of craft companies, craft retail stores, that sort of stuff, that had to shut down.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they're into craft and they're artists and they love doing that sort of stuff, probably the main thing is they're not really that into tech at all. Mm-hmm. So you'll find them making really decent money from their little shop and from the footfall that comes across their path, but they're not always online. And if they are online, they're normally online through a reseller. So someone comes in and says, we love what you've got. Can you just sell it to us? And we sell it on and you know, sell on return type scenario. Mm-hmm. So we got chatting to them. And the first thing we said was, well, what's your database? And they said, well, we got about 9,000 names. Wow. I said, how often do you communicate with them? And they said, well, we send them an email newsletter every now and again type thing. And, you know, it hadn't been used that much. Mm-hmm. And so already, rather than like going through thousands on spending Facebook advertising money and stuff like that, we worked out the best way to give them visibility was to get those people, or the ones that were interested, in a group, a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we took those people, we emailed them all, we hit them with a landing page and said, we're going to run a 5-day challenge to help you get online. Mm-hmm. Because that was the thing they were most terrified of. And then our challenge would be an hour's teaching on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday on what web platforms are there, how to take a decent picture, how to write decent content, what social media platforms do you, and the legal stuff. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we literally wrote the course with them. And we helped the one of the key people in the organization essentially deliver. So we didn't deliver, they delivered the session. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge step of, you know, faith in her part. And to give her the credit, she just went for it. And she was absolutely brilliant. And she did the 5 days, done tremendous value add. And the upsell at the end of that journey was to buy their insurance to cover themselves, you know, for craft situations and circumstances. They come back to us and said it was the best marketing thing they'd ever done. The people in the group were still chatting, still conversing. They even set up a pub on a Friday evening after. So every Friday they gathered online. Fantastic. And the people then began to refer other people into this group. And it was like the first time these crafters, as they got online and B started to talk to one another. So sometimes the visibility we're looking for is actually under our nose. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it was a dormant database. And so when we talk about, I want visibility, I want to reach more people, I'm going to connect, we automatically assume I've got to climb up this big mountain with a megaphone and shout, when in fact, sometimes it's what you've already got and you just not maximized it. So that's a big lesson in terms of getting visibility, is who you've done business with, who are the people you've connected with, who are the people you sent proposals to that didn't come back. I think my record was a 7 years it took for them to say yes. But the reality is sometimes it's a not now, but it's certainly not a no, and it's a later. And it's just prepared to just keep doing what you're doing, and the right stuff will happen at the right time.
So basically, visibility is more about follow up from your perspective rather than actually show up, like, you know, on ads and to random people who actually have no idea who you are.
Yeah, it's to run with what you have. I'll give you another example. So it's a restaurant we were working with, and the restaurant would have people come in and eat, and which is great and awesome. And they would have a book which they would sign in, and it's probably like very scribbled because they just want to leave, you know, like put their name in and what's their email address, run to get out there. So what we did is, why don't you put a pop up on your website and give them a discount voucher because they're going to want to leave their email address. And then what you have is, you have this database of people that if you ever go to sell the business, you can say, these are my customers. Because that book was like hieroglyphics. You wouldn't be able to read anything. It was pretty useless, apart from maybe the food's amazing. And then the email starts off and you don't know if it's a Gmail or a Hotmail or whatever. But that database then allowed them to email people on a regular basis to tell them what was going on. And in the midst of the pandemic, they were able to tell them that, you know, going to takeaway and that sort of stuff to get through it. So again, what I'm trying to say is visibility is often closer than we think. We think it's this far away thing, and sometimes it's right underneath our nose. We've just not gone back there. So you're right. Yeah. Tracy Saminsky, who we know really well, she always says the fortune's in the follow-up. And it's absolutely that. It's just keep following up, follow up, follow up.
I love it. So I want to ask you one very important question, because I think it's the most important question after pandemic and time before we changing somehow in a marketing environment. And I think the third part of the show will be all around authentic message. So my question will be, how do you think we can craft an authentic, real message, which probably will attract more good people to our businesses? In a more professional way, because many people misguide this authenticity with being just unprepared. So what are your recommendations about authentic message, real message?
Well, I think we certainly in marketing anyway, I think we've always looked to present the image of perfection. So what you end up is it's, you know, everything, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, I've been an art director on a film set, let's say, and we've got to make sure everything's in place. There's no dust on the table. There's no marks on the cups. The pitch is clean. It's unnatural in the fact that people just don't live that way. And the people that are on the front of the camera got perfect smiles, perfect skin, perfect hair, you know. And the reality is it looks fake. When you add it all up together, it looks fake. To the point, even the diversity. If you look at the sort of like the percentages of people in the UK, the diversity versus what the actual numbers are, we've gone completely the other way. So I'll give you an example. We might be doing, we might be selling something in a farm shop, but we've got every nationality represented at the farm.
Yeah.
Which in real life isn't actually true. Now, it's not that we have a problem with racism and we don't like this color and that color and whatever else, but we have to show what is authentic. And so I think we've kind of gone very one way where everything's very white, middle class. And then we go, and then we have the opportunity to go, well, let's bring everybody in. But we've gone completely the other way now, where we're so overrepresented, it's not even real anymore. So that's the first thing on authenticity. The best way I can see it is there's a style of photography or a style of video called reportage, which is essentially like a fly on the wall. And I suggest you see your videos and your content and your pictures and your videos as if someone's just walked through and taken a slice of life. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? Because it's like I'm peering through your window, not like some crazy stalker in the middle of the night. But it's the point of I'm showing you this is the slice of life. This is what's real. These are the people that we interact with. So, of course, if you go into an inner city, it's going to be more diverse. But if you move out, say, into the country, it's going to be less diverse just because of the way the way the jobs are, the way the opportunities are constructed. Now, that obviously continues to change. because there are a lot of people now making decisions to move out of the city. But when you first come to the country, you probably go to the city first because your chances are higher. Right. So when I look at authenticity, I say, well, we've gone from this whole perfection thing to the overrepresentation thing. And I think now where we need to get to say, how can we just be real? And the simple thing is to go a little bit deeper. And that's what the pandemic did. It allowed us to say, well, rather than just showing what this could look like and saying these wonderful words, how can we go deeper to be more in tune with what actually we really want out of life? So, for instance, what we've done is we've come out and we've thought about it and we've digested it. And all of a sudden we've discovered purpose, or stumbling across purpose. Or when you get that call to come back off furlough and go into work, you're like, oh, I don't want to go back, because you've actually managed to tune back into yourself. Now, what we do as a branding agency, and what we've done is we go there straight away. We literally try and take the person to the heart of the matter to then bring alignment for their own particular assignment. So we talk about that as heart set. So what's in your heart? What do you wake up in the morning and say, hey, I really want to do that? Now, when I know what that is, and when I know who I want to be, it then becomes really clear of who I can serve and where I do my best work. Mm-hmm. So when you know that, and when you've got that combination of things, I now can lead from a position of authority. I can build a brand from a position of authority, because it's actually a reflection of who I am.
Exactly.
And even if you decide to, you know, move on up the chain and you get someone else to run the business, the DNA of the business carries on that mission that was in your heart. And the vision may look different. It might go wider. It might go from national to international. But now you've got a business that's authentic. So I think what we've ended up with, there are brands that have painted a veneer of what stuff should look like. Mm-hmm. And then to get around that, they've gone as diverse as possible to say, hey, we're authentic, without actually realizing authenticity starts in the heart. And so what I say this thing of authenticity is the electricity of brand.
That's true. It's like very interesting what you say, that we exaggerate the idea of diversity and basically we fake authenticity for a very long time, because as we discussed just before this, you know, people take authenticity as perfection or otherwise like being completely unprepared. Like, you know, plenty of videos like no makeup, no dress up, nothing like this. They don't know what to talk about. But somewhere in the middle, this is, I think, the purpose of the show for this season, to find this idea, that middle ground, when we are actually real. We're neither exaggerating, neither underprepared. What you also said, I really love it, because it's resonated with the message of which Gary Vee sold for a very long time, don't create. So basically, when we're focusing on this documentary style, and we really understand what is real for us at the moment, emotionally. And it sometimes might be not about business. And I want to ask you a question, which is unprepared questions and probably complex, because you yourself said you need to dive deeper. So you're going.
Yeah.
You know, in time of war, you know, I was evacuating and it was really emotional time, really scary. I was writing a lot about the war in Ukraine and things like that. And I didn't write about the business, because I had to help my country and things like this, still have to. But again, there is a balance between business and doing our social work. It doesn't matter what it is. So we can fight against the war, or we can fight for some social issues. We can fight for things which are important for us as a person, right? And it does. It's not necessary is about our business.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the purpose. So I think it's somewhere in this domain. So how would you recommend to balance this authentic message, which is totally us, maybe our purposeful message, which is not necessary, is a part of the business? How would you recommend to balance this?
So I look at it this way, is that we, in the present, so your past might give you clues to, you know, what your purpose is. You know, I use this statement of, you know, what was it when you were young that you used to do that you forgot to eat? So for me, I was playing my Lego and telling stories, and then I've ended up running an agency. So you can see where I come from, and I love doing that and forget to eat. The focus really for us as individuals is to look at what we can bring to the table, which is our time, our talent, and our treasure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, with your business and with your purpose, your talent normally is where that business is. So you're investing your talent, your skills, your ability into that. Mm-hmm. That obviously takes a lot of time. Yeah. So your talent and time is taken up in there. And guess what? Treasure is a natural result of making an impact, and income seems to follow. So what I would say is how can you distinct the two? Well, it's to say, look at the time, talent, and treasure that you have and see how you can use those to influence and help those causes. So if you're an agency, let's say, and you only work with a particular demographic, as we've been talking about, maybe you go a little bit further and say, well, how can I use my time in my business to benefit that organization? So if you're really good on social media, you might be able to help them with social media out of what you already have. Because sometimes we try and reinvent. So this is my business, and then I've got to do something else, which isn't your natural skill. It's not your time and your talent. You might say, well, I'll go and sing in a choir, and you can't sing to raise money. But that charity will probably benefit more from you giving of your social media skills or your branding ideas. So if you want to give back, I think it's more of an extension of your time, your talent, and treasure to what you're already doing, and maybe use a percentage of that time to influence and help from, you know, social cause and social justice perspective, rather than do something that you're completely unnatural in doing to say I'm helping. So that's, I think, if you can use your time, your talent, and the treasure that you're already successful with, and then giving it to people that would never get access to that help, then I think that's a smart use of your time and a smart use for your business.
Yeah, basically to me, it was like, you know, I was already popular on social media, so I was using my platform to spread the word in an English-speaking, society.
Yeah.
But it still was not my original message, because I was not teaching people about branding in time of war. Personally, I learned a lot. So I collected a lot of messages, what you say, for future, like when the mix is happening from the experience, and it can be influenced into the brand message eventually. But by the time, it was really difficult, because it was literally, we had to spread the news. I mean, it was necessary. So it was not connected.
But what I would say, interestingly enough, though, what I would say is your ability to be authentic and to create resonance with an audience that you serve allowed you to share what you were going through.
Yeah.
Some people would have painted this veneer of, I'm still in the office working on my computer with nothing around them. You know, it's like life goes on type thing. But you didn't. You actually said, I'm in a bunker right now and I'm trying to write a course, or I'm trying to do that. But what it did is it brought authenticity to who you are. And I think, regardless of whether you think it's connected or not, I actually think it enhanced you as a person and enhanced your brand, that you are someone that cares. You are someone that is willing to, you know, go through tough times and come out the other side and do what it takes. And you are someone that, you know, you just instantly created that sense of, well, if you can be that vulnerable in that time of how you think, how you feel, so can I.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you find is when people are writing on the wall, they realize how privileged they are, having not been involved in that sort of stuff, and begun to say, how can I help? How can I look after? Or, you know, people that read that and said, well, I'm never going to take a family on, and then go, you know what, we need to go ahead and do it. So for me, I think it might not be directly related, but you use your time, your talent, and your treasure to mm-hmm. amplify who you really are as a person. And that's created buy-in, I think, on a whole new level.
That's really interesting, because, you know, I was talking to many people and they were actually giving this very similar feedback. They were like, you know, you can't imagine, you inspire us for something. None of them could verbalize it. Probably that's why we're talking today, because I consider you an expert. I think it can explain things to me. So it was really interesting, because I think people got a lot of communication with me. They shared the post. They help other people with my post. And I probably got maximum publicity from all the posts I ever written in my life. But the thing is, that give me an idea as an expert. Of course, I mean, whatever ordeals we are in, we are still experts.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking, you see, like, if this actually working better for the publicity, and for some reasons, people react more, people definitely more impacted, people definitely get something from this post, as you say, vulnerability and things. I was thinking what was wrong with my previous posts, which were mostly educational and, you know, recommended people some very useful things, right? And business-wise. So I could see the difference between real, and I was real before, but I mean, I was more professional versus personal. So this is like, you know, something on practice, which I could sense, but I'm not sure what exactly happened.
No, but this is a good thing. It's because there's this saying that goes around in business that I detest completely, and I will fight anybody on it. Is business isn't personal.
Mm.
It is.
It is.
If you want to succeed in business, business is personal. And I think what you did is you amplified your personal voice.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough, a lot of what you do is about personal branding. So they can see you being personable in a brand that demands to be about the person, and they go, wow, show me how to do that. I'm quite a giver. I like to give. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes when we're doing the extension of ourselves, when we're being who we truly are, things just happen. So I went into my office 3 years ago now and said to my team, we're going to do the 4-day work week. There wasn't on my radar anything about press, PR, radio, all that sort of stuff. Just wasn't him. I just want to give back, because I recognized if I gave a day back to my team, and then also gave them another day, which is essentially a research and development day. So I gave them, on a 2-week cycle, a 4-day work week. At the end of the fifth day of that week would be a day off. And then the second week of that cycle would be an R&D day. Mm-hmm. So I gave that to them. So effectively, it's like giving them another 25 days holiday, right? And then they got another 25 days to just go and experiment, and, you know, where they're so busy in life, they can now do that in work time. That was the extension of who I was, because I wanted to give. But that got the attention of the BBC. It got the attention of all the radio companies. Every time there was a conversation about 4-day work week, I would get the call. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see, as a result of that, just by doing and being authentic, how it opened doors that I never thought would open. So I had gone from, this is what I'm going to give you guys, to now sitting in studios talking about the 4-day work week. Now, I'm not saying I was the one that invented it. It certainly wasn't.
Yeah.
But it's certainly got momentum in the UK now. And a lot of people are going through this large so-called trial. I would say I was probably one of the early adopters of that movement. And mm-hmm. But it brings its own story. And it's not that I was seeking it. It was just an extension of who I am about being a giver. And I think that's what's happened with you, where you've been authentic. It's encouraged people to say, I can share a little bit more about myself and be more authentic. And that's what authenticity is. It's being more human. It's not trying to hide that I'm perfect. It's saying I'm trying to make progress.
I think that many people try to reverse engineer things like what you just gave an example, because this 4 days week and things like this is definitely everywhere right now. Mm. And what you said, really interesting. I think many people wouldn't know that, you know, always they give you a call and stuff like this because you were an early adopter. And it's really, really interesting part, which I think very few people know. That you get the call because you've already been visible with this story, you know, and stuff like that. So it's definitely giving publicity to your company as well.
Yeah.
It's really powerful. But I see instantly how people try to reverse engineer this thing. And they're like, oh, this guy is trying to apply to these companies. They don't realize that it comes from your giving, from your authenticity, which I think this conversation is actually getting really important. You know, we're trying to figure out where the chicken, where the eggs are. You know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. So we are going to the next question. So our most important question is, what is the best ideas and advice you can give us about purpose? Because you are expert, you are leader of the community of the purpose-driven people. Let us know.
Well, the key thing with purpose is it helps you to be your authentic self. And that's why we need to go after it. So I talk about alignment for the assignment. So look at your past, look at the things that you really got you going, really excited you. And then your present is what you're doing with those three things that we mentioned earlier, time, your treasure and your talent. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what type of future do you see, which is essentially your vision.
Right.
So your past often will show you where your mission could be. your present is the execution. And then the vision is essentially, the vision is the end goal, is what's the future look like. In fact, when you look at the, when you look at your, the present, what shows the present is knowing your values. So if you stay true to your values, you'll make the right decisions to get you through to the future that you want to see. So I look at it this way: your past and your present and your future actually create your mission, your vision, and your values. But if you look at mission as a starting point, your why, Simon Sinek calls, you know, there's talks about it, but essentially your why is often found in your past. Your future is essentially the vision. What is, if everything went right, what does that look like? And then your values are lived out on the day-to-day basis. So if you make decisions based on values, you will get towards your vision. And the advice I can give you there is that if you're living life by values, you recruit on them as well. So the people that you allow into your life share the same values as you. You know, if you have those essentially values of wanting to help, wanting to enrich, wanting to, you know, be kind, you wanted to, you know, help people and show people the way, that's why we're connected, you know, in business, because you have those values. And I think same with Tracy and other people like that, you will naturally, birds of a feather flock together, I think is the saying, that you actually come together, but you're all got different visions, so to speak, mm-hmm. but you all share the same values. So there's space for everybody. And I think when you know who you are, it doesn't matter what someone else is. Mm-hmm. So rather than going from competing with one another, we complete one another. And that's my advice, I would say. So double down on purpose, spend some time to look back, spend some time in what you're doing with your resources now, and have a future. Build that future. What does it look like? I use a vision board. So a very simple way of taking pictures. And interestingly enough, I pop my vision board as the wallpaper on my phone, because mm-hmm. that's the thing, one of the things I look at the most. I shouldn't, but I do. So that's one of the things I look at the most. So every time I pick that thing up, there's the vision. There's the vision. There's the vision. Mm-hmm. And I'm making steps towards that.
I absolutely love it. So tell us more about how people can connect with you, because I know you have so many sites like newsletter and everything, but I know that you have some fantastic group on Facebook. So yeah. How people can connect with you.
Yeah, so I have a group on Facebook called Purpose People. I post in there every single day around purpose. Give people the, you know, encourage them. Essentially, when they wake up in the morning, they can read a little thing about it. At the moment, I'm celebrating people in my life that are spectacular. I'm calling them spectacular people. Why? Because they're good people, but they're spectacular in the fact that they do stuff where they don't get that much recognition. They just do it because that's who they are. And I just thought, you know what, let's celebrate those people in our life that are making impact. And it helps them as well, you know, to know that they are. And you know what, also you can get in contact with them through the group. So yeah, Purpose People, type it in on Facebook, you'll get there. It's bright yellow with surfers on, so you know when you found it. And yeah, come and join and be part of the community, because ultimately it's good to do the journey, but it's good to do the journey with loads of people on a similar journey, you know, share that journey.
Thank you so much for this interview. I think we highlighted so many interesting topics, and people, you really, really need to join Daryl's group, because it's amazing. I myself am part of that group, so it's really wonderful. And there's a lot of interesting information and inspiration for you to find your purpose and build your brand.